Good morning. How is everybody? So preaching from the Old Testament, quite interesting, isn't it? It's so big, plagues and wars, kind of feels like the situation we find ourselves in now with COVID and what's happening in the Ukraine and things like that. So I think it brings the relevance of some of this New Testament, Old Testament stuff to ourselves. And while this story is a big story, a clash of cultures, the Egyptians kind of against, so the Egyptians against, with as Ian put it, their gods with a small g versus our God and Moses' people, the people of God. But the story is also, and I want to zero in on Moses here, it's a story about God working with ordinary people who are less than perfect, and does incredible things or extraordinary things with ordinary people. I mean, Moses is now in his 80s. I think D.L. Moody puts it really well, and he says, Moses, this is a quote, Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody. He then spent 40 years learning that he was actually nobody. And then he spent 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. I brought my staff along. I thought that might be appropriate. I promise I won't throw it down and create sort of serpents on the floor here, but that would be remarkable, wouldn't it? We'd get some attention. This is a Bokken. It's my martial arts training. I did some martial arts for a while. I've kind of given up now. It got a bit hard on the body, but yeah, this is a training staff, but I thought it'd be a great staff, so it's Aaron's staff today. This story is a story about a servant of God working to overcome in a world that is against them, an uncaring, hard-hearted sort of world. It's a story about God doing amazing things with a nobody. And we can really take some valuable lessons from us living in a Christian world today, and we can be sure of God's presence in our lives today because of what's happened in the past. So let's backtrack. At the beginning of your Netflix show, you get a bit of a summary of what's happened in previous episodes. You may not have been here, or you might not have been taking any notice. So Moses is not happy with the way things are going. He's been to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, "Bad luck. You're not going, your people aren't going. In fact, I'm just going to make it worse for you. I'm going to take away some resources, and by the way, you've got to do more without those resources." So Moses is kind of on the back foot. His people are not happy with him. Basically, everything he's done has made it worse for them, and I think they're in the point where they're actually blaming him rather than the Egyptians about what's going on. And in the midst of this, God just says, "Hey, get back in it. Go back. Go see Pharaoh." And you can just imagine the sort of mindset that he's in, like, "Oh, again." But God is kind of acting like a coach here. You know, you've had a bad first half of the game, but get out there, go and do it again. You know, you've got it. Second half's going to be better than the first half. So, you know, get back into the game. So they head back, and they're having a conversation with Pharaoh. And it starts to go wrong again. Pharaoh's saying, "No way, no, I'm not going to do that." So Aaron does as he's told, and he takes the staff and he throws it down. And we get a serpent. Pretty incredible, pretty miraculous. The Hebrew word used here, I'm told, I can't read Hebrew, but I sort of read some stuff about people who can, and how they've described it. It's not actually a snake, it's kind of like a large kind of monster or crocodile creature that kind of appears. It's a different word to the word that's used previously in the scriptures for snake. So actually that was a snake, but in this case it's actually more like a crocodile or something like that, which is quite interesting when you look at the Egyptian iconology that's being used here. And the crocodile is quite a significant icon in sort of with the Egyptians. So for Aaron to create this kind of crocodile in the court of the Pharaoh is quite symbolic. And the Pharaoh, you know, instead of being sort of awed by the glory of God, goes, oh yeah, I can do that. Calls his minions forward, and they do the same thing, create these sort of crocodiles or serpents or whatever's going on. So now you've got crocodiles all over the show. And Aaron's crocodiles eat the crocodiles of the Pharaoh. So yeah, quite. But still, you know, the Pharaoh's not moved by this. And it actually takes 10 plagues for the Pharaoh to actually finally give up and acknowledge the glory of God. Don't have time to go through all the plagues today, but like the next plague, the one after the crocodile incident, Moses turning the Nile to blood. So again, rod in the Nile, and the Nile turns to blood. And again, the Pharaoh goes, oh, that's nothing, we can do that as well. And his sorcerers, or whatever they are, kind of do the same thing. It's quite interesting that when these Egyptians turn water to blood, they're actually turning the only sort of good water left to blood. You'd think if you were going to show that you were in charge here, that you'd actually turn the blood back into water and make it better for the people, but they actually just make it worse, and it builds on it and builds on it and builds on it. Bit of a spoiler, the people of God do make it out of Egypt. Actually, they make it all the way to the end of all the way to Mount Sinai by the end of this chapter, and they are delivered from Egypt. And it's remarkable the sort of parallel you get here with the journey of walking with Jesus. And I think this really speaks to us as a journey as a Christian, where we're being moved from the slavery of sin into the freedom of a life with Jesus Christ. Okay, so Aaron and Moses, they've come to the Pharaoh for a second time. Just put yourself in the shoes of Moses here. He's probably feeling quite unworthy, not useful. God has told him what to do, but he's probably not really in that sort of mindset. But he has the faith to do what's needed to be done, and he obeys the word of God. He follows God's will, probably pretty convinced that it's not going to work. And I think for us, sometimes we feel a bit unworthy or not noticed by God. We sort of think in the world events of today that we're just small and we can't make a difference, you know, and we're not being listened to, and we're just being carried along in the storm. But God can use us at any time in any way, and we need to be ready and open and accept this. We need to hear God talking to us, do what God wants us to do. God uses everybody, regardless. Moses here, a bit of a nobody, a sinner, he's actually a murderer. God uses him in the same way that he can use us. The first line of the scripture, God is saying Moses is like God to Pharaoh. Pharaoh is a god in his own right to his people. You know, sort of the Egyptian mythology holds up their Pharaoh as a bit of a human god. So God is saying you have to go and be like God to this person and show I am more glorious than this Pharaoh. So like Moses, we are ambassadors of God on earth. We are like God to the people who don't know Jesus. And the way we behave, the way we act is really telling out into the world. I think Paul summarizes it really well when he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, that we're like letters that people who don't know Jesus read. So we're like letters, our lives are like being read by people who don't actually read the Word of God. So it's really important that we tell our story in a way that is, tell our story in the way that God wants us to. So Moses accepts, and despite his fears and the think that he could make matters worse, so this scene is set for a bit of a showdown between the one true God, the God of Israel, and Pharaoh and his people. But the Pharaoh still refuses. I think he's already in that mindset, doesn't really have a choice, but to do anything else would be to undermine his own authority. He's set himself up as a god over his people. If he changes his mind and acknowledges this God, he's undermining his own authority. He's actually saying that he doesn't matter. So he hardens his heart, pushes God away. And when he has the opportunity to acknowledge and believe with the miracles that are happening before him, he denies it instead and allows his own pride and sense of importance to get in the way. So Moses is hitting that resistance. He's hitting a bit of a hard point. Things aren't moving forward. But does he give up? No. No, he sticks with it. Despite no progress and frustration, he keeps his faith in God that there's a plan. Doesn't really make sense to him right now, but he has faith that the plan is there and he will get there eventually in the end. So what can we take from this? I want to bring this into Thy Kingdom Come as we sort of finish up. We all have our knotted bracelets, or some of us have anyway. Mine doesn't fit around my wrist. I must have fat wrist or something. But so we're praying for people. And sometimes I think we can feel that prayer is not working, but there's a bigger plan there. And if you keep faith, keep asking, God will be faithful. Some people have prayed for years for things, and it's not until the end of that time that things have actually come to fruition and God's revealed his plan. It's not for us to know. So we can be like Pharaoh. We can, lack faith, deny existence, push God away, try and do it alone by ourselves without God's help. Or we can acknowledge and accept that we know what we know to be true and keep Jesus in our hearts. It's a journey. We need to have trust in God. God is in charge. Just have patience and persistence, and bring this particularly into prayer, especially if you've been praying for someone for a long time and you feel like you need to be giving up. Keep praying. There'll be some people who are praying at the moment for people that don't know God, that they really want to know that person to know Jesus and to know God. So I really encourage you to pray strongly for those people. Keep praying and be faithful to Jesus. Amen.